Morning, everyone. Welcome to another Sunday sermon. It's we're slowly getting used to this preaching online and the way of doing it in our own homes. Over the last couple of months, we've been looking at the I Am sayings of the Gospels. Russ, Steph, and myself have presented six of these, and today I want to have a look at the final one. These are sayings that Jesus used as he was moving through Galilee and Judea, heading back to Jerusalem, where he was crucified. And they're a play, of course, on the word that he did when he said that before Abraham was, I am. And of course, that's in English is very bad, and it's also very bad in Greek. But he was actually stating effectively that he was the God of the Old Testament that spoke to Moses, the I am of God that spoke to Moses. And then he presents seven sayings of where he says, I am something. And we've looked at six of these. He said, I am the bread of life. And he said this straight after he had fed the multitudes with the multitude of 5,000 with five barley loaves of bread. He said, I am the light of the world. And he said this after catching a woman caught in adultery, where he showed that he actually sees our secret motives. He said, I am the gate that the sheep go through, and I am the good shepherd. And he said this when he was actually arguing with the Pharisees and the scribes about who were the real teachers of Israel. He showed that he is the resurrection and the life as he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then in the final message that he did on his final night, just before he was crucified, he actually mentioned two of these sayings. Steph covered the one last week where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Showing that he is the reason for what we believe. He's with us in all that we do in life, and he is the goal at the end. And now, just straight after that, he then mentions the next one. And I want to read the whole passage. And it's always good, I think, to read the Bible, as the Bible is where the power comes from. It's not so much from my teaching. It's actually the Word of God that is powerful. I'm reading from the ESV translation. If you want to turn to John chapter 15, and I'll read from verses 1 to 7. He said in verse 1 of John chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Fantastic passage that is often quoted in Scripture, by Christians from Scripture. And Jesus showing that he is the Messiah and that he is God. And the whole of the Gospel of John actually focuses on this. The whole of the Gospel of John is a picture of Jesus saying he is the Messiah, which is why a lot of the cults and the other churches struggle with this book and often twist what it says to try suit them, because they've got to somehow change the whole meaning of the whole Gospel. In the I Am statements, we've seen that Jesus is the one that created us. He's the one that looked after us. He's the one that made a way for us. And in this last statement, he says something even more astounding. And I want to look at this now. Now, I'm going to only have a look at three things. So there are many things we can get from this passage. I only want to look at three. So let's have a look at the first one. Jesus is the vine. You might think that's an interesting statement. Remember, the people that first heard this were the Jews in the early church and the first Christians, who the Bible they knew was the Old Testament. And most of them knew the Old Testament well, and they knew that when the Bible in the Old Testament spoke about a vine, it was generally referring to Israel. It was God was describing Israel as a vine, but it was never described in a good way. The vine was always seen as something that God planted and nurtured and looked after, and then it proved to be unfruitful. Read Psalm 80 or Isaiah 5 and you'll see this. But maybe I can just read one verse from Jeremiah 2:21. And talking of Israel, he says, "Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy of pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine?" Israel was seen as a vine planted by God, and it failed to bear fruit when it was meant to do so. So now Jesus does something amazing. He doesn't then now refer to the vine as Israel. He refers to the vine as himself. He is taking the place of Israel. He is the one that is there in our place. He is the vine. So God is no longer looking to Israel as the example, which kept failing. He's now looking to Jesus as the ultimate example. And he is the one that is going to bear fruit. God planted him to bear fruit. And now everything that Israel was meant to do, Jesus did. Israel was meant to survive the wandering in the wilderness and survive the test and succeed the test. It failed. Jesus went into the wilderness and succeeded. Israel was meant to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land and take it and failed. And Jesus got baptized in the Jordan and came out and went out and actually spread the gospel and stayed true to what God had called him to do. So Jesus is actually the one. By calling himself the vine, he is saying that he is the one that God is looking to bear fruit. And that is such an amazing thing. It's something we need to hold on to as we look at the rest of the items that are mentioned here. In this passage, Jesus also says something else that's amazing. Did you notice the words where he said, "Already you are clean because of the word spoken to them." Already you are clean. So in other words, he's saying that he is the vine, and the disciples, remember at this time, the disciples were still, they were about to leave him. They're about to, you know, he was going to go and be crucified, and they scattered. And when he died, they didn't remember that he said he would rise again. They thought that it was the end. And yet at that time, he was able to look at his disciples and say, "Already you are clean," because they had accepted Jesus. Jesus was with them and was walking with them. And that is so powerful for us. Do you want to know that God is saying to all of us, "Already you are clean because you've accepted Jesus, your Lord and Savior." If you've accepted, if you've come to the point where you realize you can no longer save yourself and you turn to him as your Savior and accept what he has done for you on the cross, already you are clean. And that then brings us to the next points that he talks here, because there are a couple of things that actually scare people here. And to start off with, he mentions that there are two choices. So firstly, Jesus is the vine. Secondly, he says you have two choices. You can either be cut off or you can be pruned. Now, I want you to know that both of those are painful processes. Both of those involve having things taken away from where you are. And I know that we all hate trials. We all hate difficult times that we go through. And of course, we all know that story of the man that was praying and he said, "God, please give me patience. Just don't give me trials to develop patience, as you've already done that and it hasn't worked." We would love to get patience and have it instantly. But of course, the best way to get patience is by going through trials. But we need to know that God is making a plan, that he is the one that is working with us. Pruning is something that is planned. Pruning is something that God is working with. Another thing that it says here that I should just mention briefly here, I will look at it later on, is that it talks about bearing fruit. And a lot of us get very stressed saying, "So if I'm not bearing fruit, then that means I'm not attached to the vine." In actual fact, you've got that the wrong way around. A lot of us think that by bearing fruit, it shows that we're attached to the vine. But in actual fact, it's only by being attached to the vine that Jesus can bear fruit in you. He says there very strongly, you cannot bear fruit by yourself. A lot of us judge ourselves because we look at our lives and we see ourselves as not as fruitful as we would like. We see ourselves the many sins and many problems in our life that we still have that just are tripping us up all the time. And yet we need to realize that it's only as we stay in Jesus that we can bear fruit for him, that we can be forgiven. A lot of people might say, "I'm very worried that I've committed the unpardonable sin." And, you know, this sort of links in this where he says, yeah, if you're not bearing fruit, then he's going to cut you off. So am I actually one of those branches that's going to be cut off? And it's something that we actually worry about. I want to tell you that if you're worried about it, more than likely you haven't done it. There was a period in time when I actually fell away from the church. I moved totally away from it. Actually, I went, got very involved in the New Age, got involved in the occult. I wrote a book called I Believe, which was actually everything that I now do not believe. I've destroyed the book. I no longer have it. But I realized one day that this was just rebellion against God, and I came back to God. But for a long period, I struggled over the fact that I'd been a Christian, then fallen away, and now come back. Had I, in falling away, had I committed the unpardonable sin? And then many years later, I was able to look back over that period where I'd fallen away, where I got involved in various occult things, got involved in a whole lot of wrong areas. And the one thing that I actually noticed, or one thing that God highlighted to me, was the way that He was with me through it all. There were a lot of times when I got involved in things and I could have gone in deeper, but something stopped me. There were other times when through circumstances, I was unable to do something. There were also certain people that were brought into my life that instead of taking me deeper, ended up taking me back to Christ. And I actually realized that through it all, God was still walking with me. I was probably fighting against Him, but He hadn't let go of me yet. He hadn't cut me off. And that's the beautiful thing with Christ. It's not about how strong you are, and it's not about the fact that in your past you did something bad. I want you to know that what Jesus did on the cross will cover any of your past sins. He is willing. If you are willing to come to Him and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, He can actually forgive and take care of all your past sins. And He can help you to go on and be fruitful. As a matter of fact, He can even turn those bad things you did into things that you can use as you go forward, which is what I have found. Is because of my experiences there, I'm actually able to help others going through similar things. And when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, you know, God, we also look at it and say, so what do I need to do? Do I need to now develop a whole lot of things that I need to do? Do I need to become a perfect Christian to show that I'm being fruitful? And yet the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22-23, we notice that it's God talks about one fruit of the Spirit with nine different aspects. So this fruit is not to do with the numbers that you managed to get into. You know, if you've got a ministry that's ministering to thousands, that is not a fruit of the Spirit. If you have the gift to prophesy and speak in tongues, that is not a fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are shown in how you're growing in love, and how you're growing in joy, and how you're growing in kindness, and how you're growing in peace. And not each of them separately, but all of them interlinked to each other. And what Jesus then says is that He wants you to be even more fruitful in those areas. Because if you look at your life now, and when you first became a Christian, you'll notice that you have grown. Not as much as you maybe want, because as you grow, God actually shows you areas you need to keep growing in. But God wants you to grow even more. And one way He says He can help you to grow even more is by pruning you, by cutting you back. Now, a pruning season is always a hard season. If you go to a gardener, and we've got a number of gardeners in the church, you go speak to them about what the garden looks like after they've been pruning. It actually looks quite bare. But they know that by cutting things back, they're going to help it to grow even more later on. And pruning is pruning is never a good, easy time for us. It's difficult, and it's not something we should pray for, but it is something that is often needed. In Hebrews 12, verses 3-6, God talks about the fact that if we are sons, He will discipline and prune us. But we need to know that He's always a good God, and that He is always working towards us being more fruitful in Him. So that brings us to the third point. So the first one being that Jesus is the vine. Second is that if we stay connected to Him, He will prune us. And if we're not connected to Him, if we try to go on our own, we will be cut off. But the third thing is, to bear much fruit, we must abide in Jesus. It's an interesting term, that abide. It means to dwell with, to continue with, to stay with. And you know that it is used 11 times in this passage that I read to you. 11 times He talks about the fact that we need to dwell, remain, abide with Jesus. And that if we do that, He will never leave us. And if we do that, we will be fruitful. Not that we've got to struggle with it with ourselves, but by abiding in Him, we can be fruitful. Jesus says He truly is the vine. And if we stay with Him, not only will we be fruitful, but He makes some amazing claims after that. And in verse 7 and 16, He says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you, in verse 7. In verse 16, He says, whatever you ask in My Father's name, He may give it to you. Now, these are two verses that we know have been totally abused by what we term the prosperity gospel, and have been used for Christians to be able to claim anything. they can claim health, wealth, and prosperity, and it's and think that that just by praying in Jesus' name that they will get these things. But I think they've missed the whole point of that whole passage. Most of that passage is saying the only way this can happen is if you abide in Jesus. And when he says here, you'll get these things, you need to ask in Jesus' name. You need to ask as if it is Jesus asking the Father. And even Jesus, if you remember, had to ask in God's will. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed that he wouldn't have to go to the cross. And yet God knew that was his will. And so God effectively said no to Jesus. We need to pray in God's will. So praying God willing, or if it is God's will, is not a lack of faith, as so many have tried to teach. James 4 verses 13 to 17. You can use it as an excuse, but it's not a lack of faith. We should all be praying, God willing, and if it is your will. But we need to know that we can go so far on that side that we forget how powerful those two verses are. Do you know that when you pray, Jesus is saying, if you are attached to the vine and you pray and ask for something, it's as if Jesus is praying. So if someone comes to you and says, I want to pray to be healed, we know the disciples on their own, when they were on their own, they prayed for someone to be healed and it didn't happen. And yet, when Jesus came, the person was healed. Do you know that if you pray for someone for healing, it's as if Jesus was praying? You pray for someone to be saved, it's as if Jesus were praying. Wow, that's powerful. And yet, that should give us a lot more confidence to go forward. It's not about me having to get results. I'm actually doing this as if it was Jesus. And if you know it's Jesus' will, go and pray. And we know that Jesus' will is always for good. It's always for people to be healthy. It's always for people to be not just healthy in body, but healthy in spirit and soul and mind. And we can actually pray a lot more in faith if we realize that it's not me praying, it's Jesus praying through me. All things are possible if I'm prepared to accept what Jesus has actually done for me. We need to realize, of course, that Jesus is not a magic genie. You know, we often think that he is that if I pray this, it's like a genie. And the genie, he comes out and he grants you three wishes and you can ask anything that you want. We need to know that Jesus is our master. He is the one in control. Yet in that passage, did you notice he says, I no longer call you servants, I now call you friends. And that's such a wonderful thing. We get the privilege of calling God Father. And how is he our Father? Well, Jesus was his literal, could literally say to him, Father. And Jesus is now calling us to be part of him as his friends and family. We can now call God Father, which means that we have the possibility to take this Jesus, this God, into the world through everything that we do. And it's not through our strength, it's not through our faith, it's not through our goodness, it's through us being attached to Jesus. We need to stay connected to him. It does mean that we have to be careful, though, to always be pointing people to Jesus. If you notice that the branches that cut off are those that are not getting any life from the vine. Whatever we do, we need to make sure we're always pointing people back to Jesus. He is the one that that can heal. We can't heal. He is the one that can save. We can't save. He is the one that can fix relationships. We can't fix relationships. He is the one that can actually do that if we are willing to allow him to work through us. We should always be pointing people to Jesus and stay connected to him. So that's all I really want to say. Those three points, that Jesus is the vine. He is the one that has done this. When he says, I am the true vine, he is the one that has lived the perfect life, and that he is prepared. If we are prepared to repent and come to him in faith and attach ourselves to him, he says that he is prepared to give us his righteousness and for God to see us see him when he looks at us. He is the vine. We are the branches. He has offered us his place, his life in place of mine, a life that is fruitful and pleasing to God. And we, to stay fruitful and pleasing, we need to stay connected to him. We must also be aware that when you go through a period of pruning, which I think a lot of us are right now, this whole world is going through a pruning process, which is not easy. We need to know that God is still a good God. God is still sovereign. God is still in control. And he is still the one that is able to make us more fruitful during this time. So, Jesus is the vine. Let us continue to abide in him always. Can I just pray for us in closing? Father, I just want to thank you that you sent your son Jesus to be our Lord and Savior. That he said, I am the true vine, and that we can be the branches in him. Thank you, Lord, that it's your goodness and your faith that make it possible for us to bear fruit for you. We want to be fruitful for you, Lord. We want to live to please you. And yet we know we can't do that through our own effort. We do that through abiding with you, remaining with you. Thank you, Jesus, that you promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We commit ourselves to you now, both today and for the rest of this week, that you just guide and direct all we do, that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.